ownership in this point, not that we own it, but it belongs to our daddy. Amen. My children can say, this is my family home, or this is my home because this is my daddy's house. Amen. Amen. Although daddy was the one that appointed them each an assigned room to live in and gave them each an assigned chore to do in the upkeep of the home and responsibility to adding increase in the home. And it was their job as sons, amen, to follow the request made to them by the father, which was me. Amen. And so if I, being a man, human, can do simple things like that in upbringing my children and showing them responsibilities and obligations, how much more are we to do for the kingdom of God? How much are we to do for our Heavenly Father, who listens to all of our prayers, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think? So once again, with that, I just watched this show start off with that song by Dietrich Haddon, just saying, my soul says, yes, Lord. Amen. And so when we get an understanding that our soul is to say yes, we'll realize that God will keep doing more and more and more for us because, number one, he's a responsible owner. Amen. And so when we treat this world like it belongs to him, he began to show us the benefits that he has laid out for us. Amen, somebody. Then it just don't stop there. When we show him that not only do the earth belong to him, but we belong to him, he began to show us how much more we can do and enjoy life through him. Hey, it don't stop there. Guess what? Because he not only gave me time and treasure, but he gave me talent. And so when I invest what skill set he has given me, when I invest the talents, the gift he has given me back to him, he shows me their true purpose. Amen. Amen. He shows me their true purpose, giving me opportunity to truly be the hand and feet, and guess what? Even mouthpiece of the Lord. Amen. Now, I can't speak for many preachers or many people that are teaching the word of God, but to me, I'm just going to be 100% honest with you. It feels good when God used me. Oh, yes, Lord have mercy. It feels good when I yield myself to be a vessel that God can speak through. Amen. It feels good when I minister and help others to have an understanding about a benefit in life. Amen. It feels good. Amen. And I tell the Lord, thank you for using me. Amen. Thank you for using me like you made me. Glory to God. So it feels good, and we're supposed to feel good when we obey God and do what God has for us to do. Amen. And so, all that being said, welcome to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, with my Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Hey, you can call me Kenneth. You can call me Bonnet. That's what my mama named me. I'm not going to be offended if you call me brother. Amen. Don't call me sister. Now, I would take some offense to that, amen, because he made me 100% man, amen, amen. I feel like Adam, the woman was already taken out, so she set aside, and her name for me is Lakeisha Bonnet, amen, amen. That's who God gave me as for my wife, amen, amen, and we too become one flesh, amen. She may not always agree with me, but she'll tell you, that's my husband. Amen. Amen. So she ain't thrown me away yet. She ain't abandoned me. Amen. And guess what? I ain't throwing her away neither. Amen. I am not abandoning her. Amen. I am thankful to God who he has given me. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. My help me. Amen. Amen. And so the purpose of that is that we can do what God has planned for us to do. That's the purpose of joining the church and being a part of any organization, is that you help meet their mission. Amen. Many of us, we go to church and we think it is our obligation, feeling some spooky service of giving gratitude to God. God is not just happy with our Sunday service. Amen. Amen. Because God has given us 7 days a week, 365 days a year, my calendar leap year. Amen. 24 hours in a day. He's given all of that to us, and he wrapped it in a bowl called time. And we have a responsibility to govern that time. Many of us fail to be used by God because we don't know the timing of God, and we're not making ourselves available for God. What do that word available mean? That really simply means ready to use. Amen. 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 Yeah, in my kitchen, amen, I have many dishes. Amen. Amen. But there's what's called clean dishes, and there's what's called dirty dishes. Amen, somebody. Amen. In the cabinet will be the clean dishes. Amen. But over in the sink area, that's where the dirty dishes are. Now, them dirty dishes want to be used just like those clean dishes. Amen. Amen. They each are designed to be used, amen, for anyone's convenience of eating food and drinking drink. Amen. But the difference is depending on the severity of them or how fast I'm trying to move. Amen. If I want to eat right now, I'm going to reach for the clean dish. Amen. For that which is already clean now. Amen, somebody. Amen. But if I'm getting ready to prepare a meal and I'm in the midst of preparing the meal, then I'm going to go over to the sink area and wash out some clean dishes, and I'm going to use those. Amen. And each of those will have the same purpose of being used by me, the master. Amen. Amen. The owner. Amen. And so all of us, amen, are designed to be used by God. Amen. It's just that if God wants to use some of us right now, amen, for his glory, then to be available is to be clean. Amen, somebody. Amen. And if you're going to be clean, you got to be in Christ. Amen. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. That means he done made you clean. Amen. He done made you ready for use. Amen. Amen. If I reach inside the dresser drawer there and pull out a fork, and that fork slap my hand and say, "Don't use me now, I ain't ready." Amen. Or that fork curl up in a ball, say, "Oh, my emotions is not right today." And all of a sudden, don't want to be used. You know what's going to happen with that fork? It's going to be thrown in the garbage. Amen. 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 You saying the same thing, too. If you went to reach for a butter knife because you wanted to spread some butter on your bread, amen, somebody. Amen. And that butter knife said, "Man, I don't want to be used." And it curls, it tip up, and refuse to scoop that butter out of the butter dish so that you can spread some of that good old butter on top of that toast you ready to eat. Lord have mercy. You're going to mess around and throw that butter knife away. Why? Because it ain't got no business curling up. It's supposed to be ready to use. Amen. And sometimes that's what happens to us. Amen. We get put on the sideline because we don't want to be used. We don't want to be ready. Amen. Sometimes we want to stay dirty. Amen. Those are the sins of the world. Amen. We want to stay indulged in revelry. Amen. Disorderly conduct. Amen. Amen. It may not be disorder in the world fashion, but in God's eyes, amen, he looked at it like he looked at the fig tree while he was traveling one day. Amen. The Bible said that Jesus was hungry and looking afar off. How off he looked? Afar off. I mean, he wasn't close to it yet, but he was close enough to see that this fig tree had leaves, which symbolized ready to use. Amen, somebody. And he gets to the fig tree, and there's no figs on it. Amen. Now, this may not be 100% accurate, but from a human standpoint, from a person that's hungry, I would say that Jesus got a little upset. Amen, somebody. Why did you say that he got a little upset, preacher? Well, because the next words comes out of his mouth. He didn't say, well, I look for the next fig tree. No, he didn't say that. The scripture doesn't give us that recall of that event. The scripture says that he looked afar off and hurried up to the tree. And when he got to the tree, in other words, he was ready to eat. He was ready to use the fruit that was supposed to have been produced from that tree. And it didn't matter to him whether or not somebody had just got there and used it. It didn't matter to him. What mattered to him was the tree had the evidence of being ready. But when he got there, the tree wasn't ready. And the Bible said, he spoke to the tree and said, no man should eat from you anymore. The apostles called, the disciples, they recall the next day, the very next day, within a 24-hour period of time, they was passing back by on their journey. And they looked over and they said, Lord, look at the tree that thou spoke to on yesterday. You said you cursed it yesterday. And it's already dried up to the root. Glory, have Lord. All right, have mercy. Amen. He said, since you don't want to be ready to be you, and I think that's why we have some bitter Christians and some sour Christians. You wasn't ready for God to use you, and now God using somebody else instead of you, and you bitter and sour. You dried up at the roots because you said you've been saved X amount of time, but God can't use you when he wants to. Oh, yeah. Stewardship for us is right here in that description of the text where he says he curses the fig tree for not having fruit but bearing leaves that stated he had fruit. When you and I say that we are born again Christians, it doesn't matter what your mental is today. It doesn't matter what you're going through in your finances. It doesn't matter what you're going through in your personal relationship with your spouse or family members. It doesn't matter what your title is individually. All that matters is that you produce fruit when it's required. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Amen. I want y'all to turn with me to Galatians. Amen. We're going to look at that real quick. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit, because we must understand, and I'm just going to obey the Lord. We're going back to the text I had prepared for today. We're going to pray. Amen. But since the Lord just dropped this on me, let me just go ahead and obey God. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go to Galatians 5 and 22. Amen. Amen. Now, in your leisure, I desire that you will go back and read Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to start here in verse 22. But I want you to back up and read the verses before 22. Amen. And I want you to look at some things, and we'll see those things in our world today from verses 19 through 21. Amen. Amen. So, or you can start there at 18 through 21, and that's the negative of what we are not looking at. But the fruit of the Spirit, and you and I as born-again believers, as stewards of God's property, we are to possess these attributes at any given time is called upon. Here they are. The Bible says, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is, not was, not will be, not gonna, but is. The word is means present tense. Okay? So the fruit of the Spirit, and here in the King James is capital S-P-I-R-I-T, letting us know it's talking about the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the fruit of God in your life, you say you got the Holy Ghost, you say you're born again, the fruit, the witness, because that's also the other characteristic of the Holy Spirit. He's a witness. Amen. He's a guide in darkness, but he also bears witness to truth. He's a revealer of knowledge and understanding. And that we pray if we continue in this verse, that the Holy Spirit will give us revelational knowledge for our individual lives. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's number one. You know, they say if you're reading the ingredients on the back of a bag or product that you're purchasing, especially like if you're buying dog food or cat food, they say when you're reading the ingredients that has the most of it comes first. And so I want you to kind of relate to the greatest of the things that we need in us is written for us first, and it is love. Then it's following, if we have the love, we're supposed to have the next one, which is joy. And if we have joy, then we can have the third one, which is peace. I wish I had a witness. Amen, somebody. So if I got love from God, who gives me joy, and I got joy from God, which guarantees my peace because my mind is stayed on him, the joy that he's given me, the world didn't give it, so the world can't take it. And his word promised that he would keep me in perfect peace if my mind is stayed on him. So when there's love needed in my family, on my job, in my community, if I bear leaves of salvation, leaves of being born again, hallelujah, then I am to bear love, joy, and peace. Now, following that, it conditions us for hard weather. And so we have long suffering. Amen. I ain't serving God today because everything is good. Amen. I'm serving God because he good. It doesn't matter what everything else is. Oh, yes, Lord. And because I know he's good, I can have, if I'm going to reflect him, I can have gentleness. Amen. Why? Because he was gentle with me when I wasn't his. He had patience on me before I became his. Amen. And while I am his, he still have patience with me, even in the midst of my stubbornness of not being ready. So it helped me to truly not only just be gentle, but to have goodness. And all of us supposed to bear this one, and that is faith. And if you have faith, you can exercise meekness and temperance. I would go on and read that following text. It says, against such there is no law. In other words, there's no restraints. There's no limit. You want to be wealthy? Do you want to be rich where he has 9 fruits that we must bear, or 9 attributes of one fruit, the Holy Spirit, that we must have in us? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and temperance. If we don't want to be cursed like that fig tree, let us bear fruit. Amen. Let us bear fruit before we leave this planet. Let us be the example, the witness that God needs us to do, to be, excuse me. Amen. Let me go to the board here. Oh, yeah, we got some people out here. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. I want to say good evening to our founder of radio station. That's none other than Six himself, a.k.a. Six Eyes. God bless you, man of God. God bless you, Dr. Thank Wolfgang. God bless you. I see you, lady body. I'm not sure who this other caller is. It may be our station manager, Princess Mikhail. Amen. God bless all of you in your respective places.
Amen.
Always a danger calling out names, but we're gonna do what we try to do. And if I miss you, if I didn't get you, charge it to my head, not my heart. But I'm gonna tell you right now, In words of Ella Pippins, he was one of my great mentors that's gone on to be with the Lord. If you're mad at me, you need to forgive me. Don't hold no grudges now, because if you want to go to heaven, you can't have no unforgiveness in your heart. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Sister Emily. Amen. Amen. All right. Prayer requests. Starting with Brother Six. We're going to start with Brother Six, and then the rest of y'all can fit in where you can get in, but let's not run over one another. Amen. Well, good evening, Brother Six.
Thank you, Pat.
Is there any special prayer request you have on this evening?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I have very long arms. And as of late, my arms have been, my shoulders have been popping. So I took some medicine. Hopefully it'll go away. So I'll keep my shoulder in prayer, my creativity in prayer, and my creativity in prayer. And I am taking tap dance lessons. So I need to keep that in prayer too. You know, I know mama, daddy, sister, and brother are having comic relief every time I hit that floor. So I'm glad I could provide them with some laughter lessons. So I have to get my tap dance shoes, and I got to get a floor. I'm gonna start out cheap.
You gonna start out what?
I'm not gonna get the Sammy Davis Fred Astaire's yet. I'm gonna start out with some entry level tap dance shoes.
So no river dance for you yet, right?
Oh, absolutely not. Right now, no. I was in kindergarten. I'm doing the shuffle. Doing the tap, the tap. It counts. So right now we're just doing the counts. So I have to order some tap dance shoes, and I'm getting a starter floor. It's a practice floor. So that is an early birthday present to myself, and hopefully my ice cream cake, because that's I want my ice cream cake, and I'm getting the shoes and starter floor, because these tap dance lessons are getting intense, and I can't be tapping it, and it's not going to work. That's my early birthday present.
When is your birthday?
Birthday's in June, but you can always give me early presents. It could be June today.
June what day?
I'll let Pastor Bonnet tell you that.
24th.
Oh, damn. January 31st. I mean, we got January 31st. Okay.
You're fired. That's not even my birthday.
That's right. You missed it.
What did I say?
Don't worry about it.
I was rushed. January 30th, okay.
It's an early birthday. To God be the glory.
Amen. Amen. Help me, sister. Amen.
Yeah, so the body trying to help you get out the proverbial talk out.
Yes, I'm going to go back on mute. But if anybody wants to help me, my Cash App is $SIX. That spells six. Digit spell IEYES, the digit two, the digit floor, four. SIXEYES, the digit two, the digit four. If you want to help me fund these tap dance shoes and the floor, mere $100. So, amen. God bless. I love y'all. Checking out Motivation and Money with Pastor Bonnet. Going back on mute.
Amen, amen. For all of our listeners, If you'd like to donate to the station to help keep radio programming like this, that is one of the ways to donate and send your offering in to support this wonderful network that's sending you inspired people to just uplift your spirit. Amen. You can also use the That was the Cash App platform, but you also are able to use the PayPal app form, and that is going to the PayPal. Through the PayPal, you're typing the email address, 6I6, amen. Amen, 6I's and the digit number 6. And you'll be able to do the same thing with that platform. All right. Anyone else with a prayer request? Amen. At this time, or just salutations. Come on.
I'd like to ask that you just keep my family uplifted in prayer, being that we're going through what we're going through and the loss of my mother. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Princess Mikhail. That is Mikhail Carrington and her family and the passing of her mother. Amen. We did a balloon release yesterday for the passing of Sister Kelly, who was the wife of one of my former deacon, Brother Bobby Thompson, amen. So, and Sister Kelly's last name is, I can only spell it, I cannot pronounce it whatsoever. And it's and just like whatsoever looks, her name looks similar to me as that, because it starts with, yeah, I'm not even going to go there because I don't want to get in trouble. When you put it on the air, it stays there. So, I was careful to make sure that I wrote her name down good on the card. Amen. Is it that? Sympathy and our prayers to her family. Amen. If we did that balloon release as a memorial unto her, amen. Many people do many things nowadays in just remembering the passing of their loved ones. So I want to encourage you, whatever you must do in your process of grieving, amen, do it. And as you release, each time you release that pain, do this, release it, amen. Amen. I'm going to say it one more time. In your grieving season, your time of grief, as you release, do just that. Release it. Let it go. Let's do our best not to hold on to grief. Amen. Because grief will be the visitor that becomes a roommate if you don't know how to truly let it go. Amen. As a matter of fact, low self-esteem and hardship are come in. Amen. And that's why we need the fruit of the Spirit, that long-suffering. It teaches us how to endure. Amen. And because we had joy before that, and God gave us peace before that, we're able to endure that in its process. Amen. So everybody grieving season is different. And your grieving season is to transition. You'll never forget your loved one that's gone on. You'll never forget Mama Nim. You'll never forget Grandmama Nim. You'll never forget Daddy and Granddaddy. Amen. Especially those that was active in our lives and was very very meaningful to us, especially at the point of their passing. Amen. Whether it be brother or sister, cousin, or just a very close friend. They are dear to us. Amen. And because they are dear, their absence from our ability to access them is a hard thing to cope with in the beginning. But as we release in time, it gets better for us because we know that we're still left with all the wonderful memory of their involvement in our lives. Amen, somebody. Anyone else? Come on. You have a prayer request or salutation you'd like to extend?
Hey, Dan.
God bless you, Sister Emily. Sister Emily ran down. We know your prayer request is for your hand. I ain't gonna tell everybody what you did. Well, I ain't gonna tell everybody what you did. But some of them know, but I ain't gonna tell everybody. Doing the video.
Well, I'll be honest. Instead of me doing something dumb and hitting somebody and getting in trouble, I hit a brick cement piece outside my building.
Listen.
Hey, at least I hit it, not the person that was aggravating me this way. I didn't get a jail cell that way.
Wow. Listen, you know, there's a comment that I would make, but it may make it seem like the preacher is advocating violence, so I'm going to hold what I got to say. And the next
the next time you get urged to hit something, you need to grab a pillow
and hit the pillow. Not the pillow. Listen, we know that's called a pillow post, but it's made of concrete. But there's a pillow that's on your sofa and one on your bed. You should hit one of them because they fall.
Yeah, I kind of learned not to do that anymore since they're talking surgery on the hand this time around, where the last time they weren't talking surgery.
Yeah. So we call the outdoor pole a pillar, but that's just our broken English. It ain't spelled pillow. So next time I hit the real pillow. Not the pillar.
Hey, Dad, did I hear six out there tonight?
Yes, you did. He was the very first one that gave his prayer request that y'all would pray that the Lord would help him to learn how to tap dance. Amen.
Yes, my mom tonight, when I talked to her, she said, if I got on the broadcast tonight to tell Six, she said hello and to request prayer for him and his family. And she said the same about our princess.
Amen. Amen. And that was both of their also prayer requests for their family members. Amen. Amen as well. Amen.
Oh,
amen.
And we want to say amen to Sister Princess that we're
amen.
still praying for her and her family because we know the burden and we know that God is still with her and her whole entire family through the bereaved times that she's going through. So we love you, Sister Princess. To stay encouraged. You and your family, please stay encouraged. I just
amen. Thank you. I'm going to say this, that we gave our mother her flowers while she lived throughout life. So we miss her physically, but we're thankful that we gave her her flowers here. So it's more, like she said, just cremate her and have a celebration. And that's what we're going to do.
And that's Amen. What we had to do. But also my brother, he also, you know,
yes.
I had two brothers that passed away not too long ago also. And we had a lot of people that passed away in our circle. So we just got to keep each other lifted up and just love on one another. So I love you all. Please just keep each other lifted up in prayer.
Amen. I got a few prayer requests myself. First off, for our nation, our politicians, those in authority, police officers, those first responders, those in nursing homes and hospitals, those that work there. Also, pray for our blind ministry for the need of a bus yet. Pray for the funds for that. We found that it's going to be about $5,000-$6,000 for that. So pray for that, that people would step forward to donate toward that, and for lost souls in general.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else have a prayer request or salutation? And we're going to pray. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we want to humbly come before your presence. As we come before you, Father God, we first ask for forgiveness of any transgressions, iniquities that we may have in our hearts, in our minds, in our actions. Forgive us of our sins of omissions and our sins of commissions. We need not anything to hinder our prayers for reaching your request. We request of you, Father, that you will govern our hearts, personal actions, that we would do what you have called us to do, that we would not look for others to do what you want us to do. But, Lord God, there are many things that we are not able to do. And for those things, God, we pray your guidance in. So we pray for the families that are broken. We pray for the families that are dealing with grief and hardship. For only you can give them guidance, and only you can truly give them peace. We pray for our nation as a whole. We pray for the peace within our nation. We pray for our nation's laws to line up with your word. We pray for those that are in leadership position that governs, that they will uphold righteousness, that they will have a mind to do what's not just easy, but what's fair and just. And what's fair and just is not predicated on the color of their skin, nor the financial status of their lifestyle, nor their religious belief, for that matter, but what you have already deemed to be just and fair. And so, Father, we pray for the men and women that upholds our constitutions and are setting laws in order. We pray for our judges. We pray for our politicians. We pray for our government and civic leaders. We pray for our president. We pray for the men and women of law enforcement, Lord God, that you can keep them safe for unseen hurt, harm, or danger. For they have families that they can return home to safely. Give them covering. We thank you for our men and women in our armed forces, and we pray for their diligence as they uphold their duties. We pray for all of our first responders, whether it's through the ambulance service, ICU, fire department, Lord God, whichever their position is, we pray that as they uphold their duties, that they are not taken away from this world due to fulfilling that duty. Keep them safe. Many responders have to respond in the midst of shootouts and gang wars. Cover them, Lord. Cover them as they do their very best to save lives and to uphold the sanctity of life. We thank you for it, Father God. Lord God, we know that the only way any of us can truly respect life is to first have a respect for who you are. And God, we thank you now for making yourself known to us. And we thank you, Lord God, for making yourself available to us. And you are always available to us because you are ready to receive us. Now, God, help us to line up with what's required to ask you, and you move to the action. And we thank you now. So much more things that we could pray, God, but we end this prayer by saying, not as we will, but as you will, Heavenly Father. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lead us not into any temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And we say amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. I have a song that I'm about to play for us. Amen. I had it queued up here. Amen. This song is called Kingdom. I ask if you have any background music to use your life.
Everyone we carry will be my eyes on the Lord, it all will be done.
Get your tomorrow, God.
Y'all to take and go and download Maverick City Music and Kirk Franklin. That features Chandler Moore. Amen. And it's called Kingdom. Amen. It is a wonderful, wonderful song about kingdom. Amen. And so at your leisure, I want you to go and download, amen, whatever platform you use to download your music, amen, Maverick City Music in Kirk Franklin, amen. You can get the whole CD if good, amen. But that song is called Kingdom, amen. And I think I have my volume a little bit too up, so it follows some distortion coming through, and I apologize on that. If it did indeed on your end. Amen. I was caught up in the music. Amen. And forgot that over the airways, you got to watch it coming through these cell phone lines. And that there would give you some distortion. I should know that. Being a sound engineer. Amen. So forgive me that I overlooked a certain rule. Amen. But that's all right. The spirit of that song transferred from me to you. Amen. That kingdom, the kingdom of God, is about me and you. Amen. And the kingdom of God looks like me and you. Doesn't matter your race, your nationality. Amen. The kingdom of God is filled with all the wonderful people that God created and received him, those that have received his gift through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to get into our program after our lesson on tonight. Amen. And so we're going to finish up this week, this month, excuse me. I'm speaking on stewardship. Once again, all month long, we was dealing with stewardship. And so as we continue on in stewardship, we're going to retrace the very name. Stewardship is the job of supervising or taking care of something such as an organization or property. Amen. One word for stewardship is administration. Amen. Another word for stewardship is manager or to manage. Amen. And so as a managing something, we are to carefully and responsibly govern the actions or whereabout or concerning what we are overseeing. Amen. And so we have that responsibility as stewards. Amen. Amen. So we go back to First Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm just obeying the leading of the Holy Spirit as we come back and touch these things, and we'll go right into what I have written. Amen. And like I've said before, at this time, I'm going to mute all the lines because I hear some interference, so I do apologize. And it may be someone's not sure how to mute their particular line. I did want to leave all of my lines open, but I'll open them later on. Amen. Because I want you to be able to enjoy the lesson on stewardship. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us, let a man, and this is dealing with mankind, so let, so the women, this will count to you. You can say, well, God said man, so, you know, you call one man, so come on. So let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewardship that a man be found faithful. So, my brother, my sister, as individuals, we are to realize that those of us that have the Holy Spirit operating in our lives, we're utilizing the Holy Spirit. He is guiding us, and we are to be faithful because it is our job to unlock mysteries for the Lord in the lives of people. That means whether you're a preacher or not, if you're a born-again believer and God has placed it in your heart to share your conversion testimony, in other words, how you receive Christ, is in that testimony that God uses to transform the lives of other people. The reason you and I are to study the Word of God is because it may be that those same people who have a question for God, God has given us an answer through His Word to deliver unto them. So, moreover, it is required that it is required in stewardship that a man be found faithful. That word faithful means committed. Amen. It means ready. Remember, I gave the fig tree earlier. It means ready and available. Amen. Do not call yourself, and this is a side note, if you say God has called you to the ministry and you feel that God has appointed you in a ministry, remember this. Peter said, be ye always ready to give an answer for the reason and the hope that lies within us. So when your pastor of your local church inquires of you who says that you are part of that ministry to help meet the mission of that ministry, and that pastor needs you to speak that evening, don't say to that pastor, we're not talking about you're not physically able to do it, or you have work and you're not able to break away from your work. We're talking about you going to church yourself that night, and pastor said to you, I need you to minister tonight in my stead. Well, that's the call of God that you said that you didn't know. As a minister or elder, and to be that support staff, You don't have to have the ability to preach charismatically as your pastor can, because there's only one pastor of that church. You're not being asked to fill the position. You're being asked to do a duty, and that is to share gospel truth with your brothers and sisters in Christ, to inspire them, to encourage them the best you know how. And you start with your simple testimony and what God gave you. Now, if you're part of church programming like what we do, and we have monthly emphasis, and you're part of that team, and so like this month it was stewardship, and you're asked to speak, then what you want to bring to the table is something containing stewardship. Don't come up with, we're going to teach today on the attributes of the Holy Spirit and change the subject. Now, when you are really part of the team, you bring support and strength in the same context, even if it means that you just simply have to start with the scripture that your pastor gave in the beginning. Don't feel intimidated. You simply get up. Don't get up on my phone. And this for somebody, because it's in me to say it, so I'm going to go and say it. Don't get up and say, well, I just found out 5 minutes ago I got to preach, y'all. That's throwing shade. If he told you you had to preach 5 minutes ago, that's between you and him. But your job was to get up and minister to your ability. And guess what? If you have learned how to say yes to the Holy Spirit, God will give you exactly what to say and how to say it right then and there. Because God does things decently and in order. And he knows what he wants to say to the house. Remember, if any man speak, let him speak as a word, an oracle of God. So if you are up speaking on a subject in the church, your prayer group or your prayer circle, your Sunday school group or your weekly Bible study group, stay in the context. You're not being asked to come with some great revelation. Just stay right where God has you. Be humble and let God have his way. Because we're going to get into how God uses you. Now, before I give our primary text, I want you to real quickly remember Habakkuk 2 and 2. When it says, write the vision, make it plain. Part of our issue is we don't write the vision. If God's giving you a message and you feel the pulling, and sometimes you may be woke up in your sleep and a certain scripture comes across your heart and you may not be sure where it's at, and you get up and look for it. And as you're looking for God to show you many other things, write it all down. And when you finish writing it all down, go back and look at what you wrote and watch the Holy Spirit walk you through the Bible with a revelation or understanding that many times it's for you, the word that's sent to you may be purpose for someone else. And just because you may not be dealing with the subject of what you are reading, it may be perfect for what somebody else is going through. So he said, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, the vision. The vision is what God is saying. And make it plain upon tables. In other words, write down this budget. If God is, God will tell us how to get our families out of debt. You got a low score. God will teach you how to uplift your credit. Don't blame this and that. Just begin to be faithful where you at. Amen. Don't stop saying what you can't do. Because so long as you give yourself an excuse, you will always have one. Start confessing, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And watch God elevate you from that point. The Bible tells us to obey the prophet, and so shall we prosper. A lot of times, the reason why we can't advance is because we don't follow the teaching of what the preacher is preaching. We hear them. We say, oh, that sounds good. But I want to read this text to you. And I'm going to read it again. And next week, I may. If I remember, I may have this surprise question asking you, call in, did you do this? And I'm going to call you, and you're going to have to give testimony whether or not you did. But I'm going to ask you one more question. I'm going to ask you how long it took you to do it. It says, and the Lord answered me. That means if God answered you, that means you asked of him. So before the Lord answered you, you got to ask something. And said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he, not just you, may that he may run that readeth it. Amen. In the King James, we see that readeth. That's like reading. So it's a constant thing, okay? That means when we make a budget for our families, that is something that is a constant reminder. When we make a mission statement, that is something that we read continually, so we have something before us. So in the content of verse 2, I'm going to ask that question moving forward. Okay? So now, kingdom budgeting. Amen. It is to remind us that we are kingdom's resources. We are God. Kingdom budgeting, meaning that we are God resources. So God made us a resource. Amen. So in every budget, there's what's called, in business, there's called a financial budget. There are 5 steps to that. Lifestyle, there's a budget that we have to deal with things on their levels. And so each budget has its outline, and on each outline is a description of what we must follow. Dealing with our relationship in God, we have to understand that God wants to use us, and so that we're to be used by God, then we are to follow the things that God has given us. Now, I already read for you 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. So, turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. it says, "Then said he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the vineyard." What that simply says to us is, as resources, God uses us for the retrieval of lost souls. And the problem is we don't make ourselves available to retrieve lost souls. We do many times is spend a lot of time trying to prove to one another that we can speak eloquently about the Bible. Or we may know something about the Bible that you don't know about the Bible. And we're not necessarily doing it to build one another up, but we do it to try to boast about what we know versus what you don't know. The danger of that is, in that we don't go and help the understanding of those that don't have. Now, it would be something for someone like Missionary Ken and I to get on, spend some time studying the scriptures and unfolding revelation within the sacred text. And that would be good. But if after he and I had took time to search scripture and dig deep and come to a understanding of something that the Word of God has revealed to us, and we don't turn around and deposit that information in the life of someone else, then we did what the wicked servant did with the one talent. We had dug it. We dug a hole. And that hole was our brain. And we hid it away. And that hiding away is we closed our mouths. And the only time we opened up our mouth was to tell one another we know something. Then we would be as wicked as the man that took the one talent that his master gave him. And then when the master came and asked for it back, "Here, Lord, I do know all 66 books of the Bible. Here, Lord, I do." And we ain't told nobody else about the 66. They ain't know 66 books in the Bible. They thought it was 30. Because we didn't open up our mouth to say it was more. They don't know nothing about Job. They thought it was Job. Okay, we kept our mouth closed. And so we have a responsibility as we learn of the Word of God, passing on that knowledge. And that's what it means to pray to the Lord of the harvest. For the harvest was plentiful. The harvest was plentiful. Amen. But the laborers, we that are laboring, are few. Again, you find that in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. Amen. In other words, the last two verses of chapter 9. Amen. And so, I'm going to see what that says in the New Living Translation says, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord who is in charge of all of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. The field is the world. Amen. And the harvest is the lost souls. Amen. Let's continue. So, five personal budget types. Now, this is just an example. If you Google budgeting, it's going to pull up a whole lot of different type of budgets. All depending on what you're trying to budget and why. So we have a zero-based budget. That's tracking constant income and expenses. A zero budget is where you're just making notation of what's coming in and what's costing you. Those are your expenses. And so you may make $100, but in trying to make $100, it's not what you're spending, but the cost for you is $90. That means you're only profiting $10. And so if you don't know how to save, then you won't advance. If you don't know how to grow your money, amen. You have what's called a pay yourself first budget. That's prioritizing your savings. Amen. That means after you have calculated the income, and you have been diligent or faithful with the outcome of what's going out, that means paying your bills first, or paying what it costs to get what you're getting, then it tells you to invest in yourself. Now, I'm going to take a part note on this. And again, there are so many teachings on this. But this is what I taught my son, especially I put a lot of emphasis on my younger son with this, and that was, number one, you tithe your 10% to the Lord. He said, well, brother preacher, what if I don't believe in tithing? I didn't ask you what you believe. I gave you a formula. You give 10% to God. Then you give 10% to yourself. You take 5% and you put it away for emergency. 10 plus 10 is 20, plus 5 is 25. That means 25% of 100%. Leave you operating with 75%. What that means in short is, if you made $100, 25 of those dollars are not for your touching. Here's stewardship. Stewardship makes you faithful in putting those 25% away. But I got this, but I got that. Listen, if you didn't have the 100 to work with, you would already been worse off. We have to discipline ourselves with is managing the remainder. That's why many people can't grow ministries or grow their group because they don't know how to manage or maintain what's there. A lot of preachers, if their congregation size is 30 members and 10 show up, they won't preach their best that day. They're offended. And so instead of them giving the 10 that showed up 100% of what God gave them, they reduce what they release out of their mouths. In other words, they penalize the 10 for the lack of the 20. That is wrong. And it makes us unfaithful because it's not the responsibility, it is not the fault of the 10 that showed up for the 20 that didn't. It's not their fault. So you don't withhold from them. And we deal with it from the concept of money because for most of us, what's going to really get our full, undivided attention is where our money going. And so if I learn to put that 25% away and discipline myself, remember I told you earlier, long-suffering? So if I say to myself, well, I only got $75 to work with, and you say, well, but you got $125 worth of bills, then I got to trust God for the other $50 that I need. But what most of us will do, we won't trust God for the other $50 that's needed. We'll take the 25 and pay and still be 25 short, not realizing that we have in our faith level in trusting God. And I'm going to show you in just a second how that's taking your faith level from trusting God. We say in our mind, this is how you justify. It's easier to make up the 25 than the 50. And so we justify to ourselves that God can give me $25 before he can give me $50. As you real, I want you to think real hard before you answer this question. I really want you to think about what I'm about to say. Now, everything I'm saying is between you and God. But the question is, which is easier for God to do? To give you $50 or $500, which is easier for God to do? To give you $50 or $500? Think on it for a second. Bank on it. Now, I want you to think about who God is. I want you to think about the Genesis narrative. In the beginning, God said what? Let there be. Now, money is the representation of silver or gold. In the earth that God made and that he spoke to existence, the gold was created. The silver was created. all manner of precious stones was created. There is no difference for God to speak $50 for you or $500 for you. They are the same. It is just a spoken word. Neither one of those are anything hard for God to do. It's just a word for him. We have to come up in our mind with understanding that the limitations on God is the limitations of our faith. And we have to learn how to trust God, period. Now, take your time, because this is the stewardship teaching is really longer than 1 month, because there's so many attributes of stewardship we can teach on. But this is a primary one. And learning to trust God and be faithful with what he gave us, because you know what God would do? He know how to give you favor for the 50. He know how to forgive the 50. Going back to the earlier scenario, you got 75, you need 125. He know how to call somebody to come up and pay the remainder, and it didn't come from you at all. Churchyard and my lunch money blew across the field, because I was faithful. What they asked me to do was the borders around the church, but I saw that the insides need to have been done as well, open field. And so trimming around a tree, picking up the trash out of the yard, all of that. I heard the Lord say, here's some lunch money. And $10. Just as if he just said, here you go. Edge by a tree. Like it just sat there. They say money don't grow on trees. It sits at the roots of them. Now, I'm not making that up. That really happened. I've gone to do jobs, and paid my tithes off the job, not even calculating the expense. And while doing the job, the neighbor says, how much you charge to do such and such? I'll say, well, my regular price is this or that. They say, will you do this for me? And all of a sudden, that gap is no longer a gap. And God will put extra. That's that unplanned. He will send you unplanned money. I'm telling you what I know, not what I think, not what I heard. It happened to me on, what that was, Saturday? Spraying 1 yard. The neighbor came out, said, that looks good. How much you charge for it? He said, man, I'm about to run up here to the store. I'll be right back. Do mine. I got your money. Came back, put my money in my hand. Unscheduled. Unplanned. Unsought out. God will open doors for you when you're faithful over the few. Matter of fact, I wouldn't have sprayed that yard that day and just went on to the next job and said, did what I initially was going to do, come back and spray it later, because I had already cut and surfaced it. I would have missed that opportunity. But sometimes God will shift what you're doing to give you a better outcome. So we have to be faithful. So we have to learn how to pay ourselves, prioritize savings. Amen. That's prioritize the savings. That's where that 5% comes from. Envelope system, which is the budget of making a spending more disciplined. In other words, you have to decide, okay, in that 10% to myself, that's for my personal spending. That means I have 10% to spend, and you're going to spend the whole 10%. In other words, you gave yourself, you know, and I did this some years back. Working overnight, I realized, I took account that how much money I was spending, eating every night at work, spending a lot of money. And I needed to budget myself, so I started this before I went to Cash App. This isn't my fight. This is how I ended up finding Cash App. Years ago back, because I've been a Cash App since 2017, excuse me, not 19. I'm not that old. But anyway, I would buy the cash card, $50. Put $50 on it. So this is my budget. I made more money. I had the opportunity to spend more. But I was trying to get out of debt. And I realized that if I manage my money better, I have more to pay on my debt. So I govern myself of spending lunch money. Even for a time, I will make my own lunch sandwiches and bought me some fruits and stuff to govern what I was spending. A lot of times we won't take the extra step to make what we have better. So if I'm a kingdom resource and God wants to have money to flow through me, I got to understand that it must flow. I got to learn that everything that I save is not always saved for me. I've saved money only to get to a certain amount and somebody else needed it. And I was only able to lend it because it was there. And that was because the Lord gave me how to save. Amen. So some people have what's called a 50-30-20. The 50% covered their, you know, like your mortgage or your rent, and those recurring expenditures. That 30% was the your overall expenses, your food, what you eat, clothing, all of that. Then involved the tithes and what you held for yourself. But I told you I gave mine in 10 for the Lord, 10 for yourself, 5 for emergency. That means that 5% is not for you to touch ever unless there's an emergency. That means your tire go flat, you got to buy new tires. Well, that's what it's for. A storm happened and damaged your home and your insurance don't cover it. That's what that 5% for. You know, that 5% is truly for emergency. Children get sick, got to go to the hospital, you got to pay those premiums, you got to do this. That's what that 5% is for. And learning how to discipline ourselves to do these things help us. You know, you want a new car, you tired of the old one you're driving. But you don't have no car note now. What you got to start doing is you got to calculate what you can afford for a car note. But even if you can afford it, you got to realize that just because you can afford it, if the interest is too high on it, you don't need that one. You need to wait on one that's going to have the right amount of interest. Not just because, so we have to think about our budgeting all the way out. Why? Because it's our responsibility to manage the resources God put in our hands. God put $100 in your hand. What did you do with it? And we must ask ourselves that. And now listen to me. This is how you answer that. You take out a piece of paper, pen or pencil, and you write down what God gave you in your hand. Then you write down every amount, each amount that you spent from your hand. And see if it adds up to 100. And look with your eyes. Excuse me, Six and Dr. Wolfgang.
Now to look at your spiritual eye
and see exactly where that money went. And make sure each was justified. That word justification. Look it up. We won't do that and we call ourselves Christians, the Christ light, and Jesus himself was disciplined to obey all that God gave him. He responded, Lord, I lost none but one, the son of perdition. It was already written we were going to lose him. But I've kept every one of them. So this is Jesus taking ownership of not just money, but the lives, the souls that was in his hand. Who is Jesus? He's the good shepherd. What is a shepherd? A steward. So he showed us in his life how to be diligent. And let me prove to you this is important to God. Jesus called the disciples together and he said, do you remember how we fed the 5,000? He called it to their recollection. He said, or how we fed the 4,000. And he asked them about the result. That means although he performed the miracles, the leftover, the quantity of the leftover was important for him to emphasize on provision. Everybody that's teaching that Jesus was broke and poor, You ain't read the Bible fully. I don't know now, not one good carpenter that's broke, number one. And this age or any other. And let's not forget the gifts of the wise men. We say three wise men because there were three types of gift given. But if you read the scripture, it said the wise men from the east. Well, if you understand traveling in that day and time, no three individual men will be traveling by themselves with any amount of wealth. They're traveling in an entourage. That means there's groups of people with them to help protect their caravan. They was wise men, magi. They was other kings who came to pay homage to a new king on the scene. And one king would never give less to another king because kingdom and kingdomship, a king gives of his increase to both of his greatness. So they didn't give him a little dab of do you. It was far greater than 10% of their increase. Because that wouldn't have represented them. And their gift must represent their strength, not their weakness. 10% is our weakness. That's on the low end. So we must change the way we think about giving finances, giving ourselves, and utilizing what we have and who we are. Woo! Lord, have mercy. My time is gone. My time is gone. I'm going to take these last 5 minutes to give you these. The Apostle Paul, if we turn to the book of Acts, chapter 9, we read here that, that Paul, who was Saul, he was on the road to Damascus. And I said to you yesterday, he had letters from the high priest that he may bind up those that preached in the name of Jesus. And on his way going, he, Paul, was knocked off his horse. He was traveling with some other people who heard a voice but saw nothing. Paul was blinded from this bright light. He gives his testimony, and the others verified because they heard it, but they didn't see. And he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And then Christ speaks to him. But in verse 15 of Acts chapter 9, the Bible says that God had prepared. When we see it in verse 13, it said, let's go back to verse 11, be correct. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street to a house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. Praying to me right now. I have shown him in a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see. Saul is blinded. He's humble as God reach out to him. When Ananias hears this, he has an option to be a good steward or not. And he talks to the Lord. He said, Lord, I've heard terrible things about this man. All the things he done to our people. He tells Ananias, listen, I know the beginning state of Saul was misled, but I'm going to use the remaining of his life. So many of us, we started out on the wrong side, but God wants to use us in a better light. But it takes someone who will come and give of themselves to obey God, to speak into our lives. Verse 15, God speaks to Ananias. He tells him, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So he gave him one of those fruit of spirit, long suffering, how much he must suffer. Amen. Our time is gone. I value your time. I want to say thank you for tuning in today. Remember, we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we love you with the love of Christ. We pray that what we do on these programs encourage you and strengthen you to study God's word for yourself, to get what God has for you, to be a happy person, to be a fulfilled person, to be a complete person. As you continue to study, ask God to reveal to you how to live in the word and by the word. Amen. Living in the word and by the word is not so to the point where you are so restricted to rules and regulations. No. Because if you operate in love, there is no rule and regulation. I named that to you earlier in Galatians 5 and 22. So as we love God and obey God, we learn how to live not lawlessness, but we learn how to live free without boundaries. And those boundaries are not giving us liberty to violate anyone's boundaries, but how to live life to its fullest and receive all that God has for us and manage the things that God has already given us. Many of us, we've already had $1 million. We want to pray for $1 million. We done lived a long time. We done already, $1 million that came through our hands already. But what we did with it, we didn't save it. We ate our seed. And because we didn't plant it, we didn't have a harvest. I say we, because I've been very guilty of it. But God had to grow me and develop me. And he's still growing me and developing me. And I encourage you to allow God to grow and develop you. Once again, thank you for joining us here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Amen. This has been Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnett. I want to say thank you, and I'm going to give everybody else a chance to say goodnight. I love you all. Y'all have a wonderful evening. I'll tune in tomorrow night, The Word from the King with Tim Google. Later on this week, on Thursday, we'll be on, what's the name of the program, Mr. Ken? program talking about forgiveness. Amen. So see us here Thursday. Amen. As we talk about forgiveness. And that'll be the four preachers from the Six Eyes Radio Network dealing with the subject of personal forgiveness. Not the forgiveness from God, but how we forgive our fellow man. Amen. We look forward to seeing you there.